Okay, gentlemen, just following to yesterday's discussion about for video one must stand. Shaila about leaning, reclining, and which is very relevant, a common shaila. It comes up in all the Yom Kippur discussions and Sfarim. They always discuss, well, if somebody finds that the position, the posture that we position ourselves during the vidui, it's okay for one Oshamno Begadno, it's okay, but as you go along of the Yom Kippur and you do all the viduyim, it's a little bit less comfortable, especially if you want to daven with kavona, it gets a little bit uncomfortable. The question is, can you recline, may you recline during the vidui or not? So we know we learned yesterday, Tzorich Lizvados Mu'umot, you must stand. And normally standing means can't sit. But can you recline? Very good. So that's right. So the Mishnah Berurah brings over here. I'm just going back to Sifkot Nyud. Yeah, the ideal position is like Moedim. Now we all know how far down we're meant to go down by Moedim, and that is quite. It's not just you can't just do the nod. You're meant to go properly down, including every part of your spine, of your back, is meant to go down. So that's the way you're meant to ideally position yourself during the video. Furthermore, you should not lean on anything. That if you take this item away that you're leaning on, if you take this away, you'd fall. You can't. Not only that, but it could even be that by the Eved, you're not yotze. If you leaned too much, it could be you're not yotze in the video. Because you must stand. And if you are leaning in a way that if this item would be taken away, you'd fall down flat on your nose, that would be sufficient evidence. That's not considered amida, that's called proper smicha, which is considered like yeshiva. So we've got to make sure that when you lean, so it's quite, I think it's quite a hard halacha this. On the one hand, vidu must be in a proper reclining position, position on the one hand. On the other hand, if you're leaning on something properly and you're relying on it, you're not yoitza. You may not be yoitza.
I think maybe I traffic with yesterday is one about not stopping you've got a bet. Just say there's mute, if
the sin. Right.
Not to rely on anything else.
Oh, very nice. That's a nice addition. Now, both sides, you hear that? Just like yesterday, we very nice, very nice vote, very nice addition. You're not relying on anything, but it's about yourself. Very nice. Okay, Rabbi said this is it's an interesting and important halacha. Rabbi said, carrying on, see, hey, betfilas. So I'm in page. I mean simon tof reish zain. I mean seif hey betfilas mincha erev yom kippurim. Einu choisem bevidya shachreo. By the tfilas mincha before Yom Kippur. Remember, that's what we're addressing, yeah? We're talking about Mincha, before Yom Kippur. You don't finish off the Shemoneh Esrei. You don't make a chasim, an ending of a bracha at the end of it. What's that referring to? Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Tezvav tells us, Rafukim Edas Rashi, there's an opinion. Rashi's opinion is the Sfira Leid, Tekol Shem Vidu Semech Latfil Yochol Lachtu, Boruch Ato Hashem, Hokeil HaSolchon. So, there is an opinion that says Rashi holds, that at the end of vidui, you say the following bracha. I'm talking about mincha. Mincha before Yom Kippur. You say, Hashem no begadnu. You go through there, and then you say, Baruch atah Hashem, Hokeil HaSolchon. Do we do this? Yes or no? Of course we don't. Now. What's the words of Shulchan Aruch? Which video are we talking about? When are we talking about? We're talking about before Yom Kippur. So, the question would seem to be, so the vidui before Yom Kippur, you don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Hokeil HaSolchon at the end. So what does that seem to imply? That all the other ones you do. It sounds like the Mincha Erev Yom Kippur, you don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Hokeil HaSolchon. Sounds like all the other ones you do. Do we, don't we? We don't, right? So Mishnah Berurah adds, just for clarification, the fact is We don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Kel Zolchot any video throughout Yom Kippur, but the Nokat Tfilas Mincha. The reason why we are here specifying Tfilas Mincha, Mishum Debezeh Simna Ereb Tfilas Mincha, because it happens to be that we are discussing and talking about Tfilas Mincha before Yom Kippur. But of course, any of our viduyim that we say, we don't finish with Baruch Hashem Kel Zolchot throughout the entire Yom Kippur. Okay, when a shliach tzibur machzir avidu b'mincha, the shliach tzibur does not go over Hashamnu begadnu by mincha, so it's a privately recited Hashamnu, but it's not repeated by the chazan. Elo mispal shmoyne esrei k'bishayim ma'aseh shana, but he says it's completely regular. Chazal sashatz. When oymu avinu malkenu, we do not say avinu malkenu. Is that the universal minhag? Mincha Yom Kippur, we don't say avinu malkenu. Is that true? Mincha Yom Kippur, we don't say avinu malkenu. Yeah, is that universal? I believe it is. For kol shkin tachanun, we certainly don't recite tachanun. Now, Rabbi Yisai, talking about minhogim. Let's hear this one. Kol hakol, the entire congregation, the entire community, the entire tzibu, loikin malkas, get 40 lashes. Okay, after mincha, everybody lines up. Take your belt. We're going to see soon what kind of belt. Chewing up. 40 lashes, to be specific, not exactly 40, Mishnah says. It's not really 40. Haboim, if you've got your Zion, says, Lavdav Kodosh invitation. Talk about 39. Why 39? Why 39? Because that's the amount of Malkus you normally get invested in. Not you normally get invested in. One would normally get. So, the 39 lashes. Haboim, Achat Filas Mincha after Mincha, people are queuing up. And, one after the other gets the lashes. Why? What's the reason for that? Shemitoch kach, once you've got your lashes, yiten liboy, it will go into his heart. Loshuv me'aveiros shebiyoldo, that will, it's a reminder of the real thing. I really deserve lashes. I've done this aveira, that aveira. So as a reminder, I was about to say a gentle reminder, but it's not that gentle. As a reminder, you get 39 lashes. And that's going to be right. Now, v'nagu the minagis, says the Ramah, sh'anil ke'oima viduyim b'sha'as sh'nikle. The custom is, says the Ramah, in Kerka, that the person who gets the lashes, who gets hit, he recites the viduy. As he gets the shoshamnu, begadnu, gozalnu, and then once they give the lashes. V'mal ke'oima v'urachom yichape ovoin, and they say v'urachom yichape ovoin, which literally means that, v'urachom, what does Vurachum mean? Vurachum, Hashem is the compassionate. Yichape Oven, who will atone for our sins. Shlosh Afomim, three times. Shem Lamed Tes, there was the 39 words. Kneged Lamed Tes, Marcus, against the 39 lashes that he gets. Venoagu, the meaning is the Halkus Britsua Koldu. The meaning is that you just take any leather strap. The Einu Ragzikor in the Malkus, because it's just a reminder. So you don't have to take the one with the leather that really hurts, with metal pieces attached to it at the end. No, you don't need that. Just a gentle leather belt will do the trick. Vikach Ratzua Shel Egel should be out of calf. Haldech Shenema Yodah Shel Kenu, how beautiful, how interesting. If you take a leather which is from an eagle, from a calf, why a calf? Because the Pasuk says, Yoda Shoyr Keneu, even we say in the staff Torah of Tisha B'Av, yeah. Yoda Shoyr Keneu, that even an ox knows who his master is. And you, the Yidden, you don't even know who your master is. You need constant reminders and you forget what Kodesh Baruch Hu is your creator, your master. But even if you ask any farmer, he'll tell you that his cows follow him nicely. But we are worse than the person who gets hit, he doesn't stand, he doesn't sit. Rakmut is his bent. Whilst he gets the lashes, Ponov Letzofen, his face towards north, Vachoyer of Ledov, and his back towards south. So that's a common minik, yeah? Common minik? Yeah, queuing up after mincha for the lashes? Good question. So he was very good. I'll tell you interesting that. So, I just saw in the Minhagim Sefer that there was, I think it's true for a few Gedolim, but most recently, there was Rabbi Duna of the Adas, where my Shvei used to daven, and I davened there quite a few of him as well. So it used to be that he was very makbid to get the lashes. He was very makbid. He wanted it to come to Midramah, because that's what he did all the years. until, and there was one Gabba that was very loyal to him, and until he actually came to a position, nobody wants actually to give the lashes. There was nobody there. They were prepared to give 39 lashes to a 90-year-old Rav. They couldn't find anybody to do it. And that's how the minhag ceased in that particular place. But he was always like a gabba kind of thing, that in a shul's gabba or something, that perhaps didn't see that he felt comfortable doing it. But it may be true as well that maybe that's the reason why people stopped as well a little bit. I mean, how comfortable do you feel to take a leather strap and say, hey, come on, it's your turn now, whoa, and so perhaps that's maybe a limud chos why people stop doing that. I don't know, but it is a minhag which I don't know. It's not so you do it, yeah, people are queuing up one after the other. Yeah, but it should, yeah. And then people do viduim. You say the viduim. Okay. So, Rabbi Sai, this year, if you want to get your lashes, you can go to Rav Feingold. He's happy to assist. Yeah. So, beautiful, very nice, very nice. So they're keeping the minhag strong, and that's as the Ramos says, that's the way it's meant to be. Shulchan Aruch says kol hakol, the entire. It's very choshev, very choshev. Yom Kippur meinu mechapa. Here comes the Ramos. Rabbi said we discussed this yesterday. I want to just repeat the question again. I am a bit troubled by this. Yom Kippur, although Rabbi Tepa had a good answer. Yom Kippur meinu mechapa the lashovim aminim bekaparos. The Ramos tells us over here, it's very interesting. Yom Kippur meinu mechapa. Yom Kippur only gives atonement. Yom Kippur only helps if you believe in it. Yom Kippur only. So there are more teachers over here that besides the fact that Yom Kippur works, there's also an halacha that you must believe in the power of Yom Kippur. So somebody says, oh, my averis are so terrible. My averis are so. I've done so many bad ones. I'm the lowest of the low. If a person is past Yom Kippur, there's an element of kfir in that. Because Ramal tells us, Yom Kippur eino mechapel ha'shov aminim b'kapor, so you must believe in Yom Kippur. And furthermore, he says, on top of page 146, Avol mevad boy, somebody kicks away Yom Kippur, mechashe b'li boy, ma'amoy li Yom Kippur zeh, Yom Kippur doesn't help me. I'm too bad, I'm too low, I'm too poor, I'm too... So eino mechapel ha'kapor, takim won't help him for such a person. So Yom Kippur Taka doesn't help him. You must really, really, really believe in the power of Yom Kippur. This makes me always think, the three, what are they called, the 3 days Yidden? What are those called? The people that show up 3 times a year on Shul, yeah? So, you know what I'm... Yeah, they're called the three... Are they called the 3 days Yidden? What are they called? Yeah, in German, they're called the three, the Dreitage Yidden. I don't know what they're called in... What are they called? Yeah, they... You know which ones I'm talking about? The ones that show up through that. So Lemaisa, there is something very, 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 it's something very precious about that, because obviously those people, they believe in the power of Yom Kippur. I don't know, they may drive or may not drive, whatever, leaving all this out, which is very deep and problematic questions. But the fact that they show up on Yom Kippur and the fact that they believe in Yom Kippur, for many years I thought it's silly. Why are you coming on Yom Kippur? Come on Sukkot. What was that? But it's untrue, because the reality is, it's got to do with this Ramah. It's somebody whom they believe in the Kapah of Yom Kippur. They believe in the Kapah of Yom Kippur. And that is very, very choshev. That's very, very, very special, very precious. So here it is. But a person must believe, a person should never say to himself, my averas are too bad, and Yom Kippur is not going to help. A person must believe in the Kippur of Yom Kippur. But here comes my question that you answered yesterday. I just want to just readdress it here. We asked yesterday that a person can, as the Mishnah Berurah says, chatosi negdi somid. You should always remember your sins from previous years. It's okay to think about sins from previous years. Now the question is, yeah, how can you, you're allowed to ask for kapor from a very did 19 years ago, or 22 years ago, the time you went to McDonald's on Shabbos, so you feel bad about this? Well, and Chatosinik, the Mos says you can do tshuva about that. Why? If we're learning now that you have to believe in the power of Yom Kippur, there's been 22 Yom Kippur since. So, do you hear Rabbi Kagan? Do you hear the question?
Yeah, they're saying, if
New realization. I think that's what we've got to go with that teretz, yeah? Yeah, that's what you said, yeah. Yeah, yeah, very good. That must be the answer. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, page 146, second line. Seder, Sudam of Sekes. Let's address the halachas of Sudam of Sekes. The reality is there is, besides Sudam of Sekes, which is one element in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a far more universal halacha, which is hidden over here, not hidden, which is discussed over here, which is as follows. Okay, let's just start with Sudam of Sekes first. Oichlem of Sekes, Kodim Rashmoshes. You eat and you drink Sudam of Sekes. Okay, keep it for late, yeah? Keep it like, have it. Kodim Sudam of Sekes. But what's best for Sudam of Sekes? What's best? What's your magic thing? What?
Chicken,
okay. Yeah, what was noch? Yeah. Oh, wood, yeah, cake, okay. Yeah, and yeah, okay, grapes, man, whatever, yeah. So, Euchlim of Sikh and Kodim Hashmoshes, you must stop before Ben Hashmoshes. The Mishtabu in the Bialocha and the Achronim discuss over here in great detail what exactly which Ben Hashmoshes it's talking about. Shetzorich Lohisi Mechodel HaKodesh. Remember, this is like a Shabbos. Just like on Shabbos, you have a mitzvah of Tosefes Kedusha, which means you have to what? You have to add to the actual Shabbos. Yeah, you have to add. You can't just go when the last minute of... You can't just start Shabbos the second it starts. You have to add to it. Similarly, also when it comes to Yom Kippur, you also must add Mechoil El HaKodesh to add weekday to the Shabbos. Before Yom Kippur comes in, you must have added a bit Mechoil El HaKodesh. For the Tosefes Zu, Ein Lo Shir, there's no real restriction how long this Tosefes needs to be. Hello, Kodim Ben Hashmoshes must be before what we call Ben Hashmoshes. Shizmanu 1005, Amo Kodim Alaylo, Tzuch Loitzim Mechol HaKodesh, Ma'atri Habe. So what Shulchan Aruch says, there is no strict and rigid limitation how long it's got to be, but a person must have Mechol HaKodesh. Rabbi said, for us nowadays, in halachic terms, what that means, how you must say Mechol HaKodesh, how do you do this Tosefes? Yom Tov, how do you do it? How do you actually fulfill it? Yeah, but Lemaisa for us, what it means is when it says Hafsoka in the Ruach, it says that's the time we have to stop eating. Then you don't have to stop before that. I mean, you can, but you don't have to, because that's really the Tosefes Kedusha already, Tosefes Yom Tov is already included in that. So it's always taken into consideration. Now, here the Shulchan Aruch goes a little bit off. Can I say that off topic? Noshim Sha'oich Lois V'Shoisois, Alchecha Sheicha. Okay, there are ladies that eat and drink until it gets dark. And they don't know, these ladies do not know about the mitzvah of Tosefes, they don't know. And they're eating and drinking and partying. Not partying, I'm adding that. They're just eating and drinking. And they don't realize that really it's already Tosefes, they have to stop already. So now, what would you say? You see women eating, they're still having their... What are they having? Their cake, you said, yeah? They're still having their cake. And now you say, hey, hello, what's going on over here? It's already like, it's pushing to... So now, Ein mamachin biyodon, Shulchan Aruch says, you just be quiet. Just be quiet. Don't protest. Don't do anything. Kedei shelo yovo, la'asos bezodon. So that you don't lead them to make a mistake. Can you explain that? Pardon? Willingly. Why willingly? What do you mean? Very good. So here comes the concept. That's right. So what you're saying is that there is halacha, which is universal. It's a global concept of mutav shushogigin. So when you know someone is not going to listen to you, so don't tell him. Are you telling somebody to stop doing Saveira for your own ego, or are you telling him because you want him to stop? So if it's for your own ego, well, that's wrong. If it's because you want him to stop, so it depends if he's going to stop or not. Because if you feel that it's still going to continue, so it's better that you tell him at this stage. Why is it better to tell him at this stage? Because at this stage, it's still a shogeg. In other words, these ladies, at this point, do they know that it's wrong to eat? They think it's okay. But what happens if you tell them, stop eating, Yom Kippur soon? So, they'll still carry on. And now, they're going to be much worse. Why is it going to be much worse? because it's amazing. Now they're doing it intentionally. So if your musadosha is going to get to deaf ears, you're not going to get anywhere. So the rule of thumb is don't say it. They are better off to do it innocently than if they do it willingly. Mutav sheyu shogigin. It's a very subtle balance. Very subtle balance. Sometimes you don't know, but the point is mutav sheyu shogigin. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the reality is we have come across this briefly in a few places. It is addressed over here because it happens to be the discussion is very relevant to these women that eat as Yom Kippur comes in. So the Tosef is there, so it's a place where it comes in. But you're quite right. Mutav Shoygin is a topic that is can be addressed in many other places too. Absolutely. 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 But still, the same Mishnah in Kotten Gimel says exactly what you're saying. That's exactly what Mishnah was saying. And we're making building with Dafka, but you're there, but Vada is Shalai Kablimen, and that's only if you know clearly that they're not going to listen to you. I will be suffic, but if you're in doubt, perhaps they will. Shemai Kablu, maybe they will actually listen to you. Maybe they will stop. So, Echlim Chois, you must protest. I feel it be immediately abandoned if it's a rabbinical matter and not the abandoned. I will say this is a very important halach. We'll discuss that tomorrow a little bit in greater detail. I want to stop over here. To summarize what we learned this evening. Okay. We spoke about the halacha of vidui. We spoke about the concept of leaning and reclining, which is a problem because you must stand. We spoke also about the halacha that it must be like by moedim. We also spoke about the... what else did we speak about? What else did we speak about? We spoke about mincha and any vidui. You don't finish off with the bracha. Hokei lasalchon. Mincha, Evim Kippur, the chazan doesn't go over vidui. We spoke about malchus. We spoke about Yom Kippur is mechap. Pardon? Believe in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur works for people who believe in Yom Kippur. We spoke about Sudam of Sekas, you must be Moisim Bechodel HaKodesh. We spoke about the women who continue eating. Don't protest unless they listen to you. But if they don't listen, then Mutav Shoshogin. That's it for this evening, Abayisa. Wish you a very pleasant and successful evening.